Matthew 25. We've read it a couple of times. I won't take time to go back and read the whole text to you again. Let's go to work on this matter of faithfulness. Faithfulness in our life. Because without faithfulness, you're never going to get the job done. People have good ideas. People have good intentions. People have good beginnings. But without faithfulness, without stick-to-itiveness, without finishing the job, you never get the job done. And God commends faithfulness. Matthew 25 is preached a lot of ways. It talks about stewardship and investing and things like that. But really, the heart of this whole subject is faithfulness. You know, last week, I gave them the word traction. We were talking about giving. The premium word in the word traction, you remember, is what? Action. Unless there is not attention to detail and action to carry it through to the finish, all your intentions and all your talent, everything goes to waste. Give me people who have stick, and we'll make progress. In fact, without that kind of faithfulness, you will not make progress in your Christian life. You will not make progress in your personal life. Everything hinges on this word of faithfulness. And I want to talk to you a little bit about it this morning. And because the Christian life is simply this. The Christian life is the carrying out of God's assignment in our moment in history. Do you get that? The Christian life is the carrying out of God's assignment for us in our moment of history. That's what it's about. It's about our behavior, it's about our work, it's about our investment, it's about everything that we do. It's carrying out that assignment, and if we don't carry out the assignment, nothing. Because it's the only thing that produces growth. And in order to carry out the two things that are required are faith and faithfulness. Faith is the acknowledgement that I don't have all the resources that I need for the assignment that God has given me. I'm dependent upon Him. I need Him. But also in faith, I believe, because He's told me it's true, that He will provide all of my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And then it's my job to be faithful with what He has entrusted and put into my hands until I get the job done. And there is no quitting. There is not a one of us who always has what they need. But if you know Jesus, you have the who that you need all the time.
Amen.
Gifts and talents are not enough. We all have varying degrees of them. Abilities are overrated. If you have gifts and talents and abilities, they can take us to the place where our character can't support us. Listen to what I'm telling you. Your gifts and your talents and your abilities can take you to the place where your character cannot support you and you crash and burn. That's why people suffer from burnout. Their talents got them to that point, but their character didn't support them in the position of pressures that were on them, and they folded and buckled. But with faithfulness, you build a resiliency and you build a strength in your core that holds you up so there is no quit in you. I fixed my dictionary. I took those words out. They both begin with K, right? Can't and quit. I just cut them out. You go look in the K section of my dictionary, they aren't there at all. There is no quit for us because God has guaranteed our success. That's the thing. As long as we are faithful, He will see us through. Having said that, I want to talk about faithfulness because faithfulness is the place where transformation happens. Faithfulness is the place where transformation happens. Romans 12 works this way, present your body as a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world. Renew your minds and put into practice the things that are good and perfect and acceptable, which are the will of God. See, it's the practice part. King James, it says that you may prove what is good and perfect and acceptable. I was giving you the St. James version, okay, not the King James. I'm Jim, and Jesus said when I came, I became one of his saints. He made that, and so did you. So you got the St. James version. My version is, prove is used in a parable. The man was invited to the wedding, and he said, have them excuse me, I just bought a yoke of oxen, and I must, here's the same word, prove them. What's the word prove mean? Put them in the yoke and see if they can pull. Righteousness is doing what's right. And holiness is doing what's right out of a habit. Somebody who's a brilliant person, tell me, how do you build a habit? None of you are brilliant? How many times do you have to do it to do a habit? Every time. Okay? If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And holiness means that I do what's right out of habit. Okay? It's not so much a matter of the fact that I'm committed to the program that God has given me to do more than how people perceive me and what my behavior to them might look like. God has given me an assignment. And I'm going to put the principles that He's given me into work. Those things are good and perfect and acceptable. And I'm going to do it every time until I get the job done. By definition, that's faithfulness. So I just want you to understand that basic principle. It is the pursuit of faithfulness that produces lasting change in our life. I can make people feel guilty and get them to do what I want them to do for a little while, but as soon as I stop supervising, they're going to go back to sloughing off, from my perspective, okay? But if you have God's assignment, it is faithfulness and the pursuit of that that will produce some lasting change in you and that transform you. Faithfulness, somebody gave me this quote. I wish I could remember where it came from. But you'll like this one, particularly, you know, business people and so on, okay? Faithfulness is the long obedience in the right direction. Long obedience in the right direction. See, once God charts the right direction for you, it is not a short-term process. It's a lifelong process. And God has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. Lifelong, lifelong. So let me give you the sermon in the sermon, first of all, because I'm running out of time, and I promised Miss Mildred that I would get out of Matthew 25 this week. So if I don't, it's my fault, okay? She's encouraged me to. No, she didn't really. I just told her that I was going to do that. So here's the sermon that I was going to preach as a follow-up. I just want to give you 7 characteristics of faithfulness, and then I'll tone down the other things real quick. Faithful people have these characteristics about them. Number one, they're consistent. You can count on them to be the same every time. They're in their place when they're supposed to be in their place. They're there on time, they're ready to go. My dad's rule was, if you're not there 15 minutes early, you're late. Good rule, good plan. Don't make people wait around on you. It's disrespectful, that's what he told me. Number two, they're reliable. That's sort of like being consistent. Reliable people, you can count on them doing the job the same way every time. They know what was required of them, and they just pick up and they do what they're supposed to do. Number three will baffle you a little bit. Faithful people are honorable people. They're driven by character, not by applause, not by approval. They're driven by character. They have moral predictability in their behavior. You can count on the fact that they'll be there. They'll be principled people. They will do what they say. And say, I'm a Christian, I'm living the Christian life. Well, if they're honorable, I can count on them. David's word is integrity. They have integrity. I like the word that they're honorable people. Number four, they're disciplined. People who are disciplined are skilled in core fundamentals. We have core fundamentals in this book, and we're skilled in those areas because we practice those principles, and they become our guarantee of success. They're disciplined people, and their behavior has been structured so they carry out what they're supposed to do. It sound like faithfulness to you? Faithful people just do what they're supposed to do. Here's another one that will stagger you. They're humble people. And by that I simply mean they have a healthy respect for authority. They understand how life works. All of us are under somebody. And they recognize a chain of command. And when the instructions come down the list, they step into their place. You know what it says about the men of Benjamin in the Old Testament? You could depend on these people because they stood in rank shoulder to shoulder and wouldn't break. They were honorable people, they were humble people who recognized authority and said, this is my place and I'll fill it. That's faithfulness. Number six, faithful people are accountable people. They recognize that there's a day of reckoning and there ought to be productivity to show for the effort they put in. Aren't those very simple principles? And I told you there was seven, you thought I only gave you six. I have. Because the seventh one is they're responsible people. They respond based on what they've been trusted to do. That's what responsibility is. My response in life is based not on what I want, but what I've been trusted to do. I show up here every week because you guys trust me to show up. Until you tell me not to be trustworthy and go do something else, which I would like to do sometimes, I'm going to be here. Because that's what faithfulness demands. And it's the only way that my character is going to continue to develop. And it needs some help still. And faithfulness is the key to get it done. Faithfulness is the insight into your character and my character. Now I want to do Matthew 25, okay? The dominant theme of Matthew 25 is faithfulness. Look at the response that the master has. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought the 5, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me these 5 talents. And behold, I have 5 more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and, what's the word? Faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will give you more responsibilities and more resources to be faithful over. Deuteronomy, the text that I've worked you to death with, says that when you put into practice the behavior that God is anticipating from you, it triggers him to bless your life with more opportunity. Faithfulness. I give you 4 basic observations that I want you to understand from this, and I'll go as quickly as I can, because everything about faithfulness is not something that you do. Faithfulness, like faith, is something that God gives. And I want you to see this. Number one, faithfulness is not a matter of effort, it's a matter of trust. Verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and entrusted unto them his goods. King James, he delivered, but the word is to entrust them. He trusted them with his goods, and they were no small matter to imagine. Every one of us who has a relationship with Jesus Christ has to understand a basic principle. And the basic principle is this: you own absolutely nothing. What do you have except that you've received? Right? I own nothing. I don't own property. It's something that God has put into my hand. I don't own wealth. It's something that God has put into my hand. I don't own a wife. She is someone that God has put into my care. I don't own children. They are my responsibility. They've put it. And if you notice, all of these things, like these stewards here, they did not come with an instruction manual. It would be nice if they came with an instruction manual, but they didn't. Because God trusts me. He has built into me resources at the place where he gave me the opportunity to invest those resources. When I got married 50 years ago, almost 48, this will be 49. Yeah, see, I've been approved. 49 years ago, I had the resources to be a good husband. I haven't always been. But I've learned along the way to be faithful in that category. Same is true with raising my children. Same is true with the opportunities God gives me along the way. That's why I'm here. God has given me an opportunity, and he expects me to be faithful in the opportunity that he's given me. And you guys are making me look really good, in case you're wondering. Now, I want you to understand this basic truth about our money and our talents. Everything that we have from God is from him, and he trusts us. We don't give our stuff back to God to use, okay? We're not loaning him our stuff looking for a payment in return. It's the other way around. all these things he's put into our care, and he's looking for a return on the investment from us into the lives of other people. So, what does God give to his servants that he trusts him with? Number one, he gives them his possessions. And number two, he gives us his trust. When I became a great and wise teenager, I discovered that the greatest thing that my father gave me was his trust. And that's what God does. He ought not to. I'm not always trustworthy. But God didn't change us to accept us. He accepted us so that he could change us. And the way that he changes us is he teaches us about faith, and then he makes us faithful. And that's how he changes us. And God trusts us. Number two. Faithfulness also acknowledges that there's a difference in ability. The master gave to each servant according to his own ability, which gets rid of all the jealousy stuff that happens. You know who are the most jealous people in the world? Preachers. I can give you a whole list of preachers who started newsletters and magazines and stuff like that so they could be jealous over other preachers who were doing what they thought was a better job than they did. Why don't they just acknowledge the fact that God has given me according to my abilities, and he said, all right, here is yours, go be faithful with what you can do. The one who got two talents was commended to the same things that the one who got five talents was. The only one who wasn't commended was the one who was lazy and didn't do anything. He got no traction and there was no action out of him, and he gets called on it. You lazy and wicked servant. That would sting from my Heavenly Father. And he's put good things into our hands. And he said, all right, you have the resources now, and I have built into you the talent and the ability that you... Do you ever read the story of Gideon? Gideon is there, and God comes to Gideon, and he says the thing that just baffles me when he says it, and I've understood it now when I read this parable. God says to Gideon, go in this your power and save your people. There's quite a message for you. This your power. Why didn't say go in my power and save your people? Because God already put his power in Gideon and developed it in Gideon, and God's power was now Gideon's power. He already had it. So the resources that you have are enough. Your responsibilities roll on. You have what it takes. God is not unfaithful where he would challenge you in areas that you're not qualified for, right? 1 Corinthians 10. But with the challenge that you have, he'll provide a way that you may move through it. You get the job done. I like that word, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. What's that spell? Through. It didn't say go to the middle and quit. It said go to the other side. Right? That's what we're going to do. Faithfulness acknowledges that there's differences in ability. It is not how much you have, but what you do with what you have. You get that one? It's not what you have, it's what you do with what you have. Yeah? Number three, faithfulness expects to be held accountable. Because faithfulness expects there's going to be a return on investment. God expects that you're going to be fruitful. Now, you all know John 15. I do this so that you might bear fruit, and then that you might bear more fruit. And in this is my Father glorified, that you bear, that's the word, much fruit. We serve a God of muchness. Everything about God is much. And he expects his children to be people of muchness. Is that good grammar? It works. Think on that. Okay. God has sent us out to make a difference in the world that we move, and he expects us to be fruitful. We need to produce excellence in life. We don't do shoddy work. We get the job done, and we get it done right, and we get it done on time, and we keep doing it every day, every day, every day, with the good works that God has put into our lives. Being faithful in our relationships, being faithful with our worship before God, being faithful in those things that he put in our hands, because if I can't be faithful in that, I'm going to fall flat on everything I do. Which brings me to the third servant, the mouse-minded man, I call him. You know what mice do? Whatever they want. You ever get a mouse to do anything, you know? They get them to run through a maze. How do you get them to run through a maze? Because they want to eat. You let them smell food, they'll follow their nose. But you can't train them. You take the food away, they're lost. This is a mouse-minded man who only did what he wanted to do, and he was lazy. And so he cooked up some half-baked excuse that got rejected in the first inhale. And rather than go and work and use what God had put into his hands, he just set it aside. Unfortunately, I think that's what happens in church world a lot. You have been given much. And maybe because you were fearful, maybe because you were lazy, maybe because of both, you just set it aside and say, well, I didn't waste anything that you gave me. But you didn't do your job. It's what you didn't do. Well, enough of that one. Fourth one. Faithfulness anticipates a reward. Aren't you glad I got that one after I beat you up for 10, 15 minutes? Faithfulness anticipates. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I'm going to reward you and double your responsibilities. You'll be twice as successful as you were next time. This is not easy task. These guys were given much. I told you back when we were doing stewardship with this verse that a talent was 20 years worth of wages for a working man. That's how much a talent was. You know, in our day and age, you know, if it was, the talent happened to be a measure of weight, a working day's wage was a talent of copper. What happened if your talent was a talent of gold, which is what I think he gave them. He gave them a talent of gold. He's entrusting these guys with millions and millions of dollars, and he didn't give them an investment portfolio and scheme to manage. He said, take the money and do with it. And they had to use their own brain and their own creativity and their own abilities to put it to work and make it produce. And when they did, they stayed on track and they stayed on focus and they stayed with God's program and they followed his principles. And he made all of their life successful. But the real reward is not that I got more benefits that way. You know what the real reward is? Read the end of this. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And enter into this, the joy of your Lord. Jesus said, I've come that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. Our joy is filled in doing the things he gave us to do, like go into all the world and make disciples. That's what we were celebrating here. But it's not just sending my money over there, it's doing it here. See, I'm excited when people catch what God has done for them and they're moved to it and they respond to it. And there isn't anything I love more than seeing somebody make that decision to trust Christ or make that decision to take the next step or to make that decision to follow through on what God has committed to them. See, God is able to make us prosper. He's faithful to us in all things. The just live by God's faithfulness. That's how we live. And his faithfulness draws us down that same path. We get to enter into his joy. And we celebrate every day because when we put our efforts in and we're faithful and we do the stuff that he gave us to do and we develop the stick to stay on track, every day we get that acknowledgement in our Father's eye. That's the way my child works. Well done. Well done. Bravo. And doing it his way triggers him. You can't believe what he's going to do. You gave us that text from Joseph this morning. The Lord was with Joseph and he saw that everything he did prospered. And he gave him favor with his master and he was in his master's house and he put him over. He was faithful with a few things. He put him over everything. How'd that happen? God. That's how it happened, was with him, and Joseph was faithful. And that brought prosperity to Joseph's soul. Without faithfulness, your life will be miserable. And trying and depressing. But with faithfulness, you will be transformed and you'll walk on high places all the time. Even in the valleys, you'll walk on high places, which sets us apart. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for your word that you brought to us in such clarity this morning. Leastwise, I'd like to think that it was clear. I'm going to trust you to be faithful, just like you trust me. Take what I've delivered and write it on the hearts of people in your words and change them that they might be the people who are always where they're supposed to be for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.